Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann.
And I'm Robert.
And we are delighted to have with us this evening a very special guest, and we'll get to her in just a moment. First, I'd like to remind everyone about our website, wellroundedcorners.com. You can listen to all of our past shows there for free, and you can also find us on iTunes by searching Well-Rounded Corners. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, all new shows automatically downloaded to your computer or iPod within 48 hours of broadcast. You can also listen to us in the archives of our BBS radio page or live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1.
That's right. And as I promised from last week, I promised you'd only have to put up with just me 1 week. Ruth Ann is back. Her voice is ready to go.
Sort of.
You're sort of back. And so we're delighted to have with us, as Ruth Ann mentioned, Patty Greer. She's the fearless filmmaker who has laid in more than 100 crop circles and created 5 full feature-length UFO documentaries in the past 5 years. She had no previous training, experience, or intention to do any of this. And she had an out-of-body experience in the center of a crop circle, and the rest is history. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening.
I hope you're having a great evening as well. How do you get training and experience for that? It's impossible, really, isn't it? I mean, how did you get started in this?
Well, I had a health issue that took me to a place of complete desperation. And I flew to the crop circles looking for healing that I wasn't being able to find anywhere around on Earth. I had mercury poisoning from silver fillings in my teeth, all things. Yeah. So I, but I wasn't getting the right diagnosis. Nobody could figure out what was wrong. And so I went to the crop circles, laid down. I was just like, you know what? I give up. Either fix me or take me. I really knew nothing about it. I was just in such a place of really needing my health to change that I was in, how do we say, full surrender. And I lay down in this crop circle and passed out. And when I opened my eyes, I had a circle of mosquitoes flying like a little tornado over my nose. And I brushed my hand back and forth and got rid of them. But there was something that I was seeing beyond the mosquitoes that I kept sweeping my hand and they weren't disappearing. And from that moment, I started seeing these, I think they're like plasma energy beings in the sky. Wow. And I saw them laying right there and I'd never seen them before, probably because I'd never, needless to say, been in that condition. I'm not sure what happened to me, really. I don't have a direct memory, but I do know that I started seeing differently. The interesting thing is that what I was seeing there in the crop circles laying on my back looking up at the sky were these round circles that were moving very clearly energetically. And I thought this was just crop circle. Oh my God, these are, you know, the things that are making the crop circles. But the long story short, when I got back to Boulder, Colorado, they were here too. Wow. So I realized that they're everywhere. And so that's what really changed in me was all of a sudden I could see something very different that I had never seen before. But it's not about the crop circles anymore, because when I talk on the radio shows and I explain how to go see them outside tomorrow when the sun is shining, most people can see them.
Hmm. Well, you know,
I'm sorry, I was going to say, and if you were going to tell us, excuse me, how to do that tomorrow, how would we do that tomorrow?
I'd be happy to explain. It's funny to start the show with like this already, but it's really exciting. And that's what began for me was seeing a different reality. So I'm going to ask you both and the audience listening, when you go outside and you're standing and looking at the sky, do you guys ever see like the little white glints out of the corner of your eye? And then you start to actually notice, wait a minute, they're everywhere.
I do. I've always assumed they were bugs because we have a lot of bugs in our area in the South. But yeah, come to think of it.
Bugs are not lights. Those little glints of light are different than bugs, which are dark or some kind of more of a color. These things are like glints of light. Have you seen them, Ruth Ann?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm trying to envision exactly what you're describing, and I'm thinking about it. And I probably have and didn't realize they were significant. You know what I'm saying?
Right. This is interesting because a lot of people, like an eye doctor, will say, oh, it's just dust on your eyelids or it's the veins in your eyelids. But the truth is, I think what's happening now in this time, 2012, is that the other dimensional energies and beings are starting to come more into our world and present themselves. And a lot of people are seeing them. And this is a really simplified form, and I mention it because I think I offer like stepping stones maybe for people to get ready if there really is something that's about to present itself to the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do know that I've walked in a lot of crop circles and laid down, and when you're walking into a crop circle, you're just in a farmer's field, and all of a sudden, boom, you can feel a difference in the energetic field. It's like you're stepping into a vortex where, ooh, you just stop. Your heart starts to beat differently, and you got goosebumps head to toe. The hair is standing up on your arms. These things are different. These are not walking into a farm field where somebody's just ropes and boards laid a field down like the old Doug and Dave theory of those two guys in England that did all the crop circles. One of them's been dead for years, and these things are still happening, and they are magnificent.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. I think this topic is so fascinating. That's why I wanted to have, you know, we wanted to have you on here. And I was going to ask you about that. I remember I was very drawn to them back, you know, back, well, several years ago. I hate to say how many, but several years ago. And then I remember there was something about some people saying they had done it as hoaxes. But then I didn't really hear that much after. I mean, I knew those people still weren't doing it. So then my thought was, well, who was doing it? And so I think I kind of lost touch, you know, with what was going on in the field, well, literally in the field. and so this is wonderful that you're going to, you know, that you're filling us in on it. So they did admit that they hoaxed that, right, with the boards and so forth. But obviously this isn't, these pictures on your website, I'm on pattygreer.com, your website, and yes. Obviously these pictures are not people with boards and whatever. I mean, these are beautiful.
Yeah, I think that anybody that takes their time looking at photos of crop circles is going to benefit. And the reason I say this is because we have learned from years of experience that what we're looking at when we look at photos of crop circles, I fly in the little airplanes and they say door on or door off. Oh, you've got a camera, door off. And I'm like, what? So they take me up in these little planes, door off on my side.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, are you kidding? And this belt is like Robert's belt. I mean, it's like take your leather belt off and wrap it around the chair that this little airplane has because I'm like, where's the harness? Where's the straps? There weren't any. So the best pilot, there was two different pilots that I flew with, and one of them would kind of be irritating, and he'd fly almost too much over the crop circle, so I had to really lean out. And that's hair-raising, because you're at like 2,000-3,000 feet. But then the other good pilot was so great, because to shoot images of a crop circle in England, it's always windy and rainy, and you're in this light plane, and so the camera's going, ew, you know. With the wind is moving it up and down. So it's really hard to get a solid shot unless you've got a lot of gear on. And I've been kind of a casual filmmaker, but I've done, I think really, I don't want to say channeled work, but the movies have definitely come through me. And the right people have walked up to me in the most perfect time where I just shake my head and go, okay, hi, Patty Greer. And I always dress nice, and I've got the big camera hanging on my neck, so people like to talk to me. And it's always the right people at the right time. And, of course, I hang out in the crop circles in England for 9 weeks every summer, so I'm bound to meet a lot of really interesting people. And every year they come in from all over the world, and we meet in this one little area called Wiltshire. And for reasons that we talk about, it is the center of the greatest crop circles that have been documented in the world for the last 30 years.
Wow. You mentioned, you know, I think when most people think of crop circles, they do tend to think of the UK just because I guess they've gotten the most coverage. But you mentioned that they are in a lot more places.
Yes.
Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yes, they've shown up. The second and third places that have as many but less than England would be Germany, and Germany gets quite a few, and Holland gets quite a few. Italy. Germany and Italy are always the second and third behind England. So this area of England, though, the crop circles happen within about a 40-mile radius, and the center of it is one of the oldest stone circles in all of Europe called the Avebury Stone Circle, and three underground streams meet there. So you've got three underground streams of water meeting in the center of this ancient stone circle that people have come to for thousands of years, and those streams go out in three directions, and the crop circles, 97% of them are sitting over an aquifer of water.
Oh.
What better canvas than this area and all the sacred energy and the sacred sites? So when they map out the crop circle locations, typically, they have them on a map which also has the burial grounds and the stone circles and the different burrows of ancient places where they would come and do ceremony. And most of these crop circles are sitting right on a ley line, which is a line between the sacred sites. And they're all laced in there. And on the far east end is Stonehenge. And on the west side, it doesn't go as far as Glastonbury, but, you know, it's this big circle around all these ancient sites. And Silbury Hill, the sacred mound, is really a beautiful area. And the crop circles, we know every summer to get a B&B in this area because, number one, there's pilots. And number two, every morning you wake up, you just can't wait to get to the crop circle center to whisper, what happened where? I'll follow you. Let's go. And that's what it's like. It's like breathtaking. First thing in the morning, you want to get there early. We have internet. Some people get called. But pretty much you've got to fly. So the one pilot that was challenging, he flew kind of close over the circles, but the other guy was great. And he taught me one of the hardest lessons in flying and filming the crop circles. He would say, look at me. And so I'd look at him and I'd say, why? And he'd say, just trust me, look at me. And every now and then I'd look away and I realized he had the plane completely tipped. And look down, I looked down once, and of course I screamed, and he said, I told you to look at me.
Well, you know, what I've read on your site, it's just, it's amazing that you went and did that, practically hanging out of the plane, and I see from your website there's so much good information on it. It just seems to me from what I read that, as you said earlier, it's so much more than crop circles. Some of the things from your movies that are described here are just fascinating. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I know you have said that it is more than the crop circles and that it is the beings or light beings. And can you just, without giving away all your movies, you know, what's in your movies, just tantalize us a little bit with some of the things that you've seen that are just amazing?
Well, yes, I think that the interesting piece, it wasn't just starting to see those things in the sky that we almost got to the end of explaining how to see them, but to realize that, you know, there's a lot more going on now that we can all start to see. But that exercise we were talking about with the glints and things, what you want to do now is take more time looking. And you don't want to have sun glaring in your eyes, but you want to really focus when you're outside. Start doing the exercises where you start looking at the sky. And even if you have to cup around the sides of your eyes because it's sunny, relax your eyes and almost relax into a stare and really look into the sky, because you'll start to see first the little white glints that move very abruptly. And then if you relax further, you'll be all patting yourself on the back, because everybody can see those. And it feels really good to say, oh, my God, I see them. I'm in, because you are in. And that's what it takes now to start really moving into the next dimension of reality, which we're really being pushed into. The neatest thing is that we already have the ability. It's just a matter of taking the time now and focusing our thoughts. So when you go outside and you start seeing these little white glints, when you relax your eyes further, what I think many people are seeing are these things that are like, they're clear like a jellyfish, but they have geometry like two circles inside each other. And it's almost like a flying clear donut as far as its shape and look, but they move very intently. Some have a clear circle inside, some have a dark circle inside, but the outsides are all clear, and there's lots of them. And almost everybody I take outside, when they take the time, they see them, or they call me the next day screaming. And I'm like, who is this? What? I mean, seriously, it's happened a few times, because it really is exciting how much is available for us to see now. So here I am, this completely surrendering human with mercury poisoning from amalgam fillings. I'm just like, oh, God, help me. This is ridiculous. And I didn't get healed, but what I got was some kind of an interesting gift that got me making these movies hard and fast. And in the course of 2 years, I made 4 movies, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
And it helped that my hands were hurt. The mercury poisoning affected the skin on my hands, and I had cuts all over my hands. I mean, really harsh. And it was every day. So I just stayed home a lot. And instead of using my hands and being out in the world, I started really using my brain. And I had all this crop circle footage. And it was almost like I was locked up in the castle of crop circle wisdom. And I had 1,100 photos I took hanging out of those planes, crawling through the fields. When it was muddy and nobody would go in, I will. I was completely hooked from the first crop circle. I never missed. When I heard there was another one, no matter how tired I was, I would crawl if I had to, because it was such a gift. And for an American to be over there in England and to get the whisper secret of where the crop circles are and go into them, it just feels like a great honor. So, strangely, whatever happened to me, or for whatever reason I've been brought to the crop circles and into this hardcore movie making, it feels to me like I've been working with higher dimensional beings, because all the information in this movie is pretty, it's all real and it's all data provable, and I didn't study. So it's really interesting, and it's a lot of, you know, talking heads, people that are being interviewed that are lecturers around the world. So they're doing a lot of the talking, but the information came too easily. But here's the interesting part, is that in my opinion, the only footage that's ever been documented that balls of light are making the crop circles is the famous John Whaley footage. Have you seen that, where two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds?
No, I haven't seen that. Where would we find that to check that out?
Oh, you have to see it. It's great. It's probably, well, it's called Oliver's Castle Crop Circle. Oliver's Castle Crop Circle. It's in my movie right at the beginning, because it's the most amazing discovery. I'm not sure if it's in my trailer, but it's definitely, you can Google Oliver's Castle UK Crop Circle 1996, I think. But you'll watch balls of light circle over a field of wheat, and the field goes down in all these circles with lines connecting to a center circle. They continue to circle. They look at it, or they check it, and they go away. It's this incredible footage, and he's the only guy that pushed play on his camera. All these other people that say they've seen it were completely paralyzed. And when the bolts of light left, then they went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. My camera's hanging around my neck and I didn't push play.
I can understand that.
That's that's how it works sometimes. Well, we're going to have to take a break here. But when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the origins of these crop circles, the connection with UFOs, which all these words that we use to define, you know, UFOs, extraterrestrials, we need to probably be very specific about what that when we come back and really get down to the details there. So we'll do that when we come back with Patty Greer.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. We're delighted to have Patty Greer with us. She's talking with us about crop circles. And Patty, before the break, I mentioned that I wanted to ask you, this has just been in my mind here. I want to get your thoughts about what you believe is creating these. You know, they've always talked about connections to UFOs and different things. We've talked about the blue lights. I want to get your opinion as to what is making these crop circles.
I believe from everything I've seen that they're being made by balls of light. And when I was in England in 2010, I had the strangest experience. And because I'd already made 4 movies, I brought my movie camera, but I said to my boyfriend at the time, I am not making a movie. And he said, well, let's just bring it with us. And I said, I'm not making a movie. I've got 4. They're expensive. This is fun. I need to get them out to the world before I keep making movies. Well, come on, let's just bring the camera. I'll carry it on my back. So everywhere we went, we had the camera. So we get up early one morning, and we went in my favorite crop circle ever. It had probably 50, 60 circles. It was in Avebury, Truslow. And 2010, it was the most exquisite one because it had centerpieces. In the center of each circle was an artwork. It wasn't just like sprigs standing up, which many of the crop circles have a simple centerpiece of sprigs that didn't get laid down, and then everything around them is swirled down. And then there's perfect walls that are just like crisp of standing wheat. And then everything else is swirled down and this little centerpiece is standing up. But in the crop circle that we were in at 6:30 that morning, every centerpiece was an artwork. Some of them had 3 different sprigs. that were tied together with a piece of wheat, but not broken, bent, but not broken, which is how you can tell they're not made by humans.
Wow.
Humans, when they bring in the boards and ropes, they go, they step, they move it, they step, and it breaks the wheat or the barley. And that's what we look for when we first step into a crop circle to see if it's real or made by humans. When they're broken everywhere, layers, layers down, they're typically easy for us to say probably made by human. But when we walk into that vortex and it's like, woohoo, you know, and you get that creepy, deepy feeling, it's like, it's not creepy though. It's kind of an honor, but it's a mix in between those two, if you know what I mean.
Well, what do you do when you run into one that you believe is hoaxed? Do you just leave it? Do you still take pictures and just for reference? Or
I think I take pictures from the air and we talk about it. But, you know, I haven't been in very many that I felt were not real.
Mm.
And a lot of the ones, the interesting thing. Oh, so I wanted to complete that sentence. Before, the ones that are made by humans are typically broken, but the ones that are not made by humans have a very interesting way of laying down. So the wheat has this blown bubble, and then it's bent at a 90-degree angle, like an elbow that's blown out like a bubble and bent over. Thousands of them, side by side, same location, blown bubble, and they're all laid down in the same direction. Tell me how that works.
Wow.
And they're not broken. It's called a blown node. It blows a bubble like a microwave can do it, but it's only a small bubble, and then this long piece of wheat lays down in the perfect direction. So that's what they look like when you're in them, and it's really quite gorgeous. But again, for me, it's about you can feel it when you step into it. So what happens is that a lot of us take pictures during the day, but we also do a night watch on the hill where we pick the best fields that usually there's a crop circle or two or three every summer in the same certain fields. So we do night watch over East Field. We do night watch up at Adam's Grave. There's just certain places where the night watchers go. So I went up with a friend, Monique, in 2008, and we saw these amazing orange balls of light. And we were looking over East Field, and both of us took pictures with different cameras, and I got distant shots, and she got close-up shots with her 35-millimeter big lens thing. And, you know, it was kind of exciting, but the guy standing with us, it was just the three of us and the cows, he said, oh, that's just military flares over there. And we believed him. So when I was there in 2010 with my boyfriend and the camera, and I kept saying, we're not making a movie, we get up early, we're shooting this unbelievable formation that I'm telling you about with the centerpieces. My favorite one looked like an Indian teepee village. It was like 50 strands of wheat up twisted and then rolled over like a little teepee. And there were maybe 10 of them in a circle and then a bigger one in the middle. That was just one center out of 50 crop circles.
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, my God, I just couldn't believe it. I'm sure the picture is it's on my website somewhere. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a big round center. But, I mean, every single circle we'd step into the next circle, the centerpiece would just be like, you just got to keep taking pictures. So We wore ourselves out, and then we went over to the Crop Circle Research Center called the Silent Circle. We sat down, had some coffee, sat outside, and we watched these two guys from Belgium walk up, and they were kind of stumbling, and they looked kind of, I don't know if they were drunk. They were real red-cheeked and staring at the ground, and I said, you guys need a little help? And they came and sat down with us, and the guy said, oh, what we saw last night. And I said, what'd you see? And he said, well, we saw these orange balls of light over East Field, and then these illuminated light beings came out of them with arms, legs, and a head.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well, do you think, I mean, I guess this kind of ties in with, you mentioned that that they're these balls of light. Do you believe that these are extraterrestrial, extra-dimensional? maybe they live here on Earth, but just don't manifest, you know, as we would think of traditional life, something in between? Or, I mean, what's your take on that?
I think the first three you described were perfect.
All of them.
All of the above. Huh. I really think, like I was saying earlier, that they're here and it's up to us to start seeing them. And for me, they were in my face as potent as the mosquitoes were in my face, because my arm was trying to sweep both of them. That's how blatant they were showing themselves. Because here I am, a totally vulnerable human, laying there with my arms open in the center of a crop circle by myself. I mean, you know, if there's anything flying around that's looking for a vulnerable human, I was like, they were just sign her up. She just looks perfect.
Have you ever been down in a circle? Excuse me. Instead of up on the hill, have you ever been down in one at night when they were being made? Has anyone ever been down with them?
No. And very few people recommend sleeping in them, because, for instance, the one animal that I saw in a crop circle that I think had been there at night, maybe when the crop circle was made, was a completely flat porcupine. This thing looked like it had been run over. You know, it might have been run over by the tractor.
That would make me not want to get in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that there's something microwave-esque about it that, you know, that does something very weird and something we're not quite used to yet. So here's the interesting piece about these guys. They tell me this amazing story, and I was like, this is incredible. Are you sure? And he said, my eyes don't lie. I know what I saw, and I'm a rational man. I said, let me buy you coffee and cake and take you out back and interview you. And then I whispered to my boyfriend, we're not making a movie, but this is good. They just lay it out. They had the most amazing night. And they said that they had met these French people, heard them, you know, all excitedly coming up the hill. And that's what woke them up out of their camper van to go down. So, but these guys from Belgium that told me this story were the only ones that had seen the illuminated light beings, which is a really big story that hasn't been told before over there. And the owner of the Silent Circle was really excited to hear this. He said, you know, this is heavy. So I take them back to the Silent Circle, and we sit down again at the front table, and he says, oh, there's the French people. I mean, it's like they walked up. It's not fair to me. I'm not making a movie, but the French people walked up. I'm like, oh, God, did you really see this? And they said, yeah, we don't know what it was, but we saw these orange balls of light over the crop circle in East Field. And they said they didn't get a feeling from it, but they definitely saw them. And they disappeared, they came back, but they were right over this crop circle in East Field on July 29th, 2010. So it was like really an interesting couple of interviews, and I thought, wow, that's fascinating. You know, they must have seen it. You know, they're not friends. They were just all up doing night watch, and they got lucky. So the next day, my boyfriend and I drove a few hours away to a crop circle called the Roundaway Crop Circle. Really pretty formation. And the farmers are standing there at the gate, you know, so we hike up and thank them and walk into their field. And there's these kids just laughing away. And I thought, you know, we've never interviewed kids. Let's just pop the camera up and ask if they'll talk to us about what they think of crop circles. So this little family from Belgium, the mom, the dad, the three kids and the dog sit down, and they speak Dutch. So the mom had to translate to the camera what they were saying. And the little girl was like a 5-year-old, blonde hair, blue eyed, indigo child, just gorgeous. They might call him a crystal child now, but you know, you could tell she was very angelic looking. Aww. And the mom said, she wants to know what you think of the crop circles. Now, instead of the child talking about the crop circle we're sitting in this moment, the child said to the mom, tell her about that crop circle we were in the other day in East Field, where I saw those orange balls of light, kind of like a candle flame.
Oh.
And then she went on to say, they told me the crop circle's not done yet. This is a 5-year-old child. And the mom translates, and we just looked at each other, and I said, was this yesterday? And she's, you know, talks in Dutch to her husband, looks back into the camera. She goes, no, 2 days ago, July 29th. It's like, oh, God, we're so not doing a movie, but that's number three. And then that night, we go to the wedding of my friend in Glastonbury, another hour away. And we're at the dinner party at the end of the wedding, and we're at the end of the table meeting this cute guy from Holland, and his name's Eddie. And I said, so what do you do? And he said, oh, I like to do auto writing, which is where spirit takes my arm and they write through my hand. I just close my eyes and I loosen my arm and they write. And I said, really? Have you written anything interesting lately? He pulls his book up and slaps it down on the table, opens it up, and he'd sketched out that crop circle. And he said, yeah, the other day I was in Eastfield. And I'm like, no way.
Wow.
And I see the word orange. And right below it, the word yes. And then he had questions and answers. And he had sketched the crop circle with a few more elements added. So I said, what is this? And he said, I was in a crop circle the other day in Eastfield, and my boyfriend stepped on my foot. We're squishing each other's foot under the table. And he said, yeah, they wrote this word, and they did all this writing. And usually they do like sketches, like artwork, but this time they did words also. They wrote the word good, like good, you're getting it. And then they wrote the word orange. And I knew right away, I said, are you the orange beings? And then they wrote the word yes. And the camera zooms in. It's like, oh, God. And then he says, and they said it's not done yet. The crop circle's not done yet.
Hmm.
So we're like, whoa, I'm going to have to keep an eye on this. So that's the fourth story. And the very next day we take off, my boyfriend and I, to the drive around southern England. And I just, when we got into the hotel somewhere, I wanted to get internet and just see if that crop circle had a second phase. And sure enough, it did. It got bigger. And 4 days later, August 3rd, it got really big again. It had a third phase that was just magnificent. And I show it in my movie trailer on the homepage of my website, which is pattygreer.com, P-A-T-T-Y-G-R-E-E-R. The movie trailer's right there, and you can see the whole thing of just little bits of the stories and then all three formations of that crop circle. And it is really beautiful when it's done. And that this little 5-year-old girl and a 40-year-old man from different countries both said to me, it's not done yet. The orange beings told me.
Wow.
What kind of stuff is that? I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I did learn to edit and make it into a movie, which is called Four Stories, One Event, Other Worlds. And it's available on my website. It is the most amazing story. So here's what makes it more amazing is that none of these people had photos. They all told me the same story, but none of them had photos. And I realized after I started editing, I went, oh, my God, 2 years before Monique and I did our night watch, and we had orange balls of light. So I called her in Holland and I said, send me your photos. And between hers and mine, I had the movie done. So I took these photos and I sent it to my witnesses in Belgium, France, and Holland. And I said, is this what you saw? And all of them wrote back, yes. Oh, my God. Were you there?
Wow.
It was the very same balls. Now, these are not orange orbs that are opaque like a lot of orbs that we see. They look like a solid, massy ball. But the most amazing thing was it in her photos, which were close-ups, was this band, a black band that looked like a window or a door. It was the weirdest thing. And I didn't know what it was, and she didn't know what it was, but I kept looking at this thing, and the photos are incredible. And you'll see them on the in the movie trailer. These orange balls of light have this black band that goes around. So when I finished the movie, I finally got Skyped by a woman in England who would not talk to me and do an interview. But I was told repeatedly, you have to talk to her because she saw the light beings too. So finally, when the movie was done, I sent it off to print. Boom, she rings me. And we're on Skype. And she says, yeah, to tell you the truth, I saw them also. I was standing on Silvery Hill with my two friends, and she named them, and I still remember their names. And she said, and all of a sudden we saw the orange balls of light over East Field. And they came toward us, which was really kind of intense. And then she said, all of a sudden, an illuminated arm came out of the ball of light. And it came out of a doorway, and I went, a doorway? And she said, yeah, it was like an arm came out and then a head, and it pushed its way out of this slender doorway. And I went, is it a black? Like, whoa, let me send you a photo. What's your email? So I sent her a photo, and she couldn't even talk. She just said, where'd you get those photos? I can't believe they let you take their picture.
Wow.
So that's
amazing.
It was really amazing. She said, I can't believe they let you take their picture. So once she saw that I had the pictures, she told me more, that not only did the one push its way out, but once it got fully out, an illuminated light being with arms, legs, and a head, she said it reached into the orange ball of light and pulled out another.
That's astounding. Wow. Well, we have to take a short break, and we'll be back with Patty Greer in just a moment.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma. And it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
And welcome back. We're talking to Patty Greer, and I had a burning question before the break that I just need to ask you. You've told us so many interesting things about the crop circles, and I've read so many interesting things on your website. What I'd like to know is, what do you think the messages are that they're trying to tell us? Obviously, they're going to so much trouble to make these circles, and they've even let us see them. Some people see them. So what do you think they're trying to tell us?
Well, I think they're, number one, trying to get us ready for more communication with them and to possibly have them start decloaking, which is to show themselves to us. So the crop circles, my favorite line is that the crop circles are the first physical manifestation of communication from ETs that humans can physically see. And when we think of, you know, how else could they communicate with us? This is like a big sticky note in a field. And they would choose a field of wheat early in the summer so that they would have 2 or 3 months for it to sit there as a statement. And when you look at some of the crop circles that have been laid down in the last few years, there is no doubt that many of them are showing us an ancient language that hasn't been seen in hundreds of years. And this is not easy to lay 1,500 feet of a perfect ancient language group of symbols into a field of dry wheat. It was dry. It was brown when that field went down, which is just remarkable because it was so specific, this languaging. So a lot of them are mathematical. A lot of them show us orbiting patterns of the planetary systems. And each person that looks at a crop circle, depending on how much spiritual work they've done, where, how well they can focus their mind, basically where their vibrational frequency is at, they're going to see a crop circle at their vibration. So when I lay a photo of a crop circle in the middle of a group of people that all know crop circles, and there's five of us sitting around, we all take our time and we turn it and we take our time, you're going to have five different explanations of what it is, and everybody's correct. So what it's doing, we believe, is that the sacred geometry, it's a universal language, and it describes the inner workings of nature and the intrinsic order of the universe. So when the brain looks at the sacred geometry, which is where the math is just kind of perfect on all sides, matching like a mirror to itself across, it relaxes the brain in a way that the brain can take in the information being offered. And somehow I think that these higher dimensional races are giving us the information we need to move into the new paradigm. And what I see as a new paradigm is a world of peace and a world of free energy. And I think a lot of the crop circles are offering scientific or mathematical formulas for free energy.
Well, that's interesting you should say free energy. My focus, I guess you would say, I have a Reiki practice, and so I do work with a lot of energy and so forth. And I'm looking on your website. You have one set of pictures. There are one crop circle here that has, it looks, well, my frame of reference, when I looked at it, the first thing I saw, it looked like a person with his arms up. And it looks like there's energy flowing through the whole picture, and there's something else, the circles next to it, and something coming out of the middle between the two. And it just, the first thing that popped into my head was being connected and the energy flowing between creatures and places and so forth. And it's funny to me, I was looking at that as you were talking about how people see them differently. And I just thought it was very interesting. It looks like energy flowing between them to me. I'm not sure physically how that is on the ground. I can only see it from the air, but that's really a beautiful picture to me.
Isn't that great? That one happened on 7707, and it was very well noted because there were people doing night watch on the hill that got a photo. They had three cameras running all night long, and somebody got a flash in the sky that looked like lightning that went sideways, and then that crop circle was there when the morning light came, and they felt that the flash of light was the circle makers, boom, laying the field down in an instant.
Wow. Well, it just looks so, it looks, you can almost, I mean, I can almost, it's almost like it's vibrant. You know, there's an energy to the whole picture to me. And I just think that's very interesting. You said you knew which one I was referring to.
Oh, so. Instantly. Yeah. In my opinion, it looks like she's got her arms up celebrating. That's what
yes.
I see.
It looks like celebrating the connection.
Yes. And the other being, though, doesn't have any upper body.
Right. Yes. But then there's the little small one in between.
Right.
The first thing that I thought was the connectedness of everything, and almost looks like a little family. It's just very interesting. I don't know what whoever did it intended it to be, but it's the energy flowing through it that to me is just, that's a beautiful picture.
Yes. Well, I think when people, a lot of people spend a lot of time on my website because I'm very generous with photos. I think they're to be shared. They're not to be hunkered away and hidden. And The movie trailers are full of crop circle images. And if you hit pause and just take your time with any crop circle, you're going to get something out of it. I really do believe they're giving us information. And for instance, in 2009, it was the first time we'd ever seen birds of all kinds, really clearly birds in crop circles, not just vague mathematic or geometric symbols, but, you know, like the thunderbird and the owl and the swallow and the phoenix. And there were a number of birds. And then all of a sudden there were all these fish, and they were clearly dolphins in a circle, and sea creatures, squids, and really specific animals. All of a sudden it didn't do the mathematical or the Mayan things. It went right over to birds and fish, and boom, a few months later, the BP oil spill happened, and all the birds and fish were killed.
Oh, wow.
And I really felt that there was a connection there. I felt that, that's what that was about in the summer of 2009.
Hey, you've mentioned patterns and whatnot. There are two questions I wanted to ask about that. The first, I remember one crop circle I saw it. I believe I saw it on TV. It was quite early in the 2000s, maybe 2000 to 2003, something like that. It was a crop circle that had a binary type encoded message in it. I don't remember the name of it or the details of it, but I think you might know what I'm referring to. It had a picture of DNA in it or something as well. First of all, are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. The one you're talking about is the ET face in the disc.
That sounds like, yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Well, it had a very clear depiction of an alien face, and it was right next to a big round disc that was kind of built into his face that had all the binary code. And it was a huge circle that was all digits. And, you know, it almost looked like a player piano when you stick that metal thing in with all the holes in it. It was just like that. And it was right next to the ET face. So they took it to have it dissected because it actually was a code, and it was decoded by Paul Begay. And he said that it was a computer language known as ASCII.
Mm-hmm. So
they decoded it, and it had specific words and letters that were caps and small. But the I'll give you the message first. It was really interesting. And then the words that were capitalized made another little further statement. But it was in 2001 when this happened. And it was such a bold statement. What it said was, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing. And the large words were false, broken promises, pain, good, deception, closing. So I think that they were in 2001 warning us about all this corruption. I think they were giving it to us very clearly. And again, if you think about 3 hours of night, which is all they have in the middle of summer in England, to lay down a binary code, an acre in size, I'm guessing it was that big. I'm sure it was hundreds of feet across. But this binary code was so specific, it was absolutely remarkable. And not only was it remarkably placed in the field, but in the field, it was right next to a group of telecommunication towers. So their intention was to put it in a field where the information could go out to the world.
And where people who might know how to interpret it would be nearby, it sounds like.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. You know, we've had on before Cliff High from the WebBot Project. You may be familiar with his work. I know some of our listeners are. He developed some software in the early, I believe it was in the 90s, and basically it was for speed reading. You know, he would take text and spin it around in a certain way. And I'm being very generic here, but He had the idea in the 2000s. I remember him saying on a radio show, taking black and white images of crop circles and spinning them very fast. And, you know, that there was some message there in that way, that they look different or that they gave off some different sort of message. Have you heard about any of that? And what are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely have. I have this guy named Rob. Oh, gosh, I wish I could think of his website. He's doing a lot of that. And he's also done like black light paintings of the crop circles. There's so many people doing artwork with them. But the spinning of the pattern, it does really get trippy. And it does totally change what you're looking at when it starts to turn. I think if people went online and Google searched it on YouTube, crop circle spin, you'd see a lot of them. And it really, it's funny you mention that, because I can only watch so much of it, then it makes me kind of just go, ugh.
Well, that's probably just the spinning nature. Well, Patty, we only have just a few minutes left here, probably two or three. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us? And then maybe afterwards share with us how to get in touch with you, how to purchase your movies, view the pictures in your website and whatnot.
Well, I just want to really encourage people to seek the magic in things and not give up. I think that the wonder of crop circles has been so incredibly overlooked, which on one hand, I don't mind because they're not crowded when I go over there. You know, most people don't believe, but it absolutely amazes me that the world could be this fooled and think that they're not real, because we are being visited. We are getting sticky notes left in the field, which are the crop circles. In my opinion, I think that they are messages clearly to humanity, and they're counting on people like me to take pictures, and they're counting on people like you to do a radio show and get the word out.
It does seem that we're getting messages from so many different places and beings and whatever you know, whoever it may be, but I just hope that we start listening a little bit better, or a lot better.
My first movie was called The Wake Up Call, dash, anybody listening?
And I see on here, it looks like, it says you have a movie that's due out spring 2012. Is that 2012? Is that out yet?
No, I actually started it. It's my sixth movie, and I got about $10,000 in with the editor, and I hit the brake pedal, and I said, you know what? I really have to stop this habit of making movies. It feels like a habit now, because the income from it is way too much of a challenge compared to what it costs to make them. So that's why I was teasing and saying, you know, when I made my fifth movie, I kept saying, oh, my God, we've got to get this interview, but I'm so not making a movie. And it's just because it's so expensive. So the fairy film is movie number six, and it is without a doubt the most beautiful thing I've ever done. And I know that I'll finish it, but somebody else is going to have to pay for it. So today of all days, I launched a funding for the fairy film on Kickstarter.
Well, I see that you have on your site here a list of your movies, and I see that you have what's available, and they sound fascinating to me. I'm so glad that you've been with us.
It's been a wonderful hour. Appreciate the information. Everybody, go to pattygreer.com, check out her work, check out her movies, and just look at the beautiful pictures.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And that's all for this episode. You can catch us on WellRoundedCorners.com. The show archives are always free, or you can search Well-Rounded Corners in iTunes. You can hear us on BBS Radio Channel 1 every other Tuesday at 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you wish to share this episode, please do so in its entirety. Until next time.